Welcome to The Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining. So, as you probably remember, I am doing a episode every other week now. So if you missed, if you thought I forgot or anything like that, I did not forget. I'm now on the every other week kind of cadence to this podcast. So welcome back. I hope I didn't lose any listeners that way. Maybe I'll go back to doing it every single week, excuse me, if people want that. But I just to be fully open, you know, I make about $12 an episode. So, and from sponsorships, that's it. So it's not a lot. And so I'm not doing this because I'm making money at it. I'm doing it because it's really kind of keeps me sane and lets me, you know, talk to people about what I do and things like that. So, you know, maybe slightly some uptick in eBay sales when people go to my store to take a look and they buy something, you know, that happens a little bit, but not too much. So again, this is not a profitable endeavor. I'm not a full-time YouTuber or a podcaster. But my, just to remind everybody, my focus, is that I'm going to create a YouTube channel for my store and focusing on the collectibles and going through and how to collect certain items and things like that. So it's really, there is a method to my madness, what I'm doing. And so anyway, so here we are. And today's episode is really less about an eBay episode as much as it is around how do you manage your finances when you're a full-time reseller or even a part-time reseller. Now, we've talked about it a little bit before, but what prompted this episode is I got a email message from a listener who is a part-time reseller. And they basically came to me and said, okay, listen, I have a bunch of debt and I'm having trouble paying off debt and growing my store. So I said, okay, that's a common problem. So a lot of people get into this thing as a side hustle, and this is what it sounded like he was doing, but I wasn't sure. I didn't have much information. So he said, well, how do I manage this? So I sent him a note back and said, hey, you know, tell me a little bit about your business. Are you working part-time, full-time? What are you doing to bring money in? And so the main premise I was getting to is, and I said this in my first email message back to him, is that basically, listen, anytime you have interest involved, interest being, you know, credit card interest, or whatever, and most likely it was credit card. I didn't ask, but I mean, you know, I didn't want to delve too much into his private business, but I said, well, you know, you have interest, and interest is not really meant for your benefit. It's meant for the benefit of the credit card company. And just, if you ever have any doubt about this, read a book. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. It talks about, it's really more on the investing side where basically you talk about compounding interest over time, right? So there are other books about this. You know, there's The Richest Barber, I think it's called. There's a few others anyway. So, you know, Richest Man in Babylon is the one that I read. And once you get the idea, and I read it very young in life. So what is the basic premise is that, you know, you're putting away, every month and over time with interest and compounding interest that, you know, you get rich. I mean, that's really, I'm just going to cut to the chase. That's what it is. Right. And so you just reverse that in the credit card, arena. And basically they're charging everybody interest monthly and most people spend more than they bring in. And so over time that grows and it gets to a certain point, of course, and they're making 18-19% interest on your credit, on the credit card interest. And of course you can imagine that adds up. And so they even have it built in that even a certain number of people could actually default completely and they're still making tons of money. The point is that he's in a situation where he probably has a lot of credit card debt. So it turns out that he has I'm not sure if it's two full-time jobs or two part-time jobs or one full-time, one part-time. I don't know. But I mean, basically he's working 7 days a week, working for somebody else and he wants to, you know, carve out a little bit of a niche for himself. And so he's in a market, he's in a collectible market similar to me in something he obviously enjoys. And, so he says that he has about 150 items that he owns, and about 30 of them are listed. And of course, he is only listing part time at night when he's got a kid. And so when his child is asleep, he goes and lists. And now it sounds like he's listing only a few items a night. And that's okay. And listen, I mean, that's, you got to start someplace. But he has 150 items and he's listed 30. So my first response to him would be, listen, you know, when you have 125 listed, then you should go back and start increasing the inventory, right? So I do this as well. You know, I'm in a stockpiling situation now, only because I'm moving and I won't have really time to go out and source. And so I've been sourcing a little bit more than I would normally before I left and packing it up, which is probably not the best thing in the world. But I wanted to make sure that I didn't have to buy any more inventory for the rest of this year. And I believe it's really, really important. And this is the real major lesson here, is that you shouldn't stockpile. The death piles are called death piles because it'll kill your business, right? I don't have death piles. I have back stock, and that back stock is just enough for me to list while I'm continuing to purchase new items. So I don't really have a lot of backlog. Now, there are exceptions. You know, if I find a particularly good deal on a large amount of items, you know, obviously, you know, you don't want to pass up a good deal just because you don't have everything in your inventory are listed. So I do that. So it's not a steadfast rule. It's got to be a really good deal though. It's got to be a infrequent deal. So it's got to be something that I'm not going to see very often, or maybe even once in a lifetime if I buy it when I have plenty of back stock. Now the key is the mind shift here. I don't call it death pile because I don't really have enough of it to kill my business. If my back stock burned to the ground and I lost everything in my back stock, it would be no big deal. I mean, you know, it'd suck. Don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't kill my business. So, you know, that's just my opinion. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are in the collectibles business that constantly buy massive amounts of quantity. And as a matter of fact, there's a YouTube out there right now with a guy with like 180,000 items in his warehouse. And then they did a quick cut to his eBay store. And I noticed that he only had 50,000 listed, but yet he's still buying more and more and more and more. So I would say he's got a huge warehouse. I don't know how much square feet, but it looked big. And literally a third of it is being used for active listings. So he's got back stock. I don't know why he's buying more, frankly. But you know, hey, listen, it's his business, not mine, but, imagine the warehouse. He has to have this warehouse. It's huge to contain all his death piles in his case. And so he's forcing himself to go into other businesses. So he does a lot of wholesaling. And I'm not going to tell you who this person is. You can go figure it out yourself. I mean, I'm saying, listen, he's got a great business. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure he's selling a ton, even probably a ton more than I am. But eventually back stock, which what I call back stock, will turn into death piles if you're not listing. So he's doing wholesaling to people like you and I, because I think he just really needs to get rid of stuff. But the funny thing is he's constantly buying more stuff. So he's becoming less of an eBayer and more of a wholesaler, which is fine. If that's his business, that's cool. And I think that's kind of, if you're going to do that, you need to plan to do that so you could set up systems in place. It seemed like to me, looking at his warehouse, he may know where everything is, but especially if he has any workers, they have difficulty finding things because it's all over the place. It was just a mess. Now, if you looked at my warehouse, which right now, admittedly, is a little bit of a mess because I'm moving and I'm kind of packing things up and stuff like that. So it's a little bit different. But normally you walk in my warehouse and you could find anything you want. You know, you just give me an item number and I could tell you just from the item number where it is in the warehouse, and I could find it within 30 seconds, which is exactly where you want to be, right? And so anyway, going back to this guy, so he is, so he's got 30 items. He got 150 items in his room that he uses in his house, and he's only got 30 listed. So I said immediately, okay, what I want you to do is to stop buying stuff, really focus putting all your money that you make out of it into paying down debt, because he's doing everything at his house. And so it's not a major deal. He's not paying for warehouse or anything like that, no employees and so on. So I said, pay down that debt, get it down towards zero, basically. And now you're knowing how much you can list. I only want you to buy enough you could list for a week or maybe two. And then when you do 80% of those listings out of those week or two, then you're going to go out, you'll buy more, right? And again, same thing, two weeks. Let's say a month, right? So you're not always constantly buying. So buy a month's worth and then get 3 weeks through the month. And then you then buy the next month. And if you start getting into debt, then what you want to do is you want to pull back and pay down that debt. So the key is to use profits to buy stuff. So you're not constantly paying down debt. You're basically just servicing the debt you have, and not accumulating more debt. So you want to pay it off every month. So you're not paying interest, because interest is a killer, right? And I'm not a financial advisor. So, and I don't play one on TV, but I do have a master's in finance. And so I will tell you this, is that interest is never in your interest. It's in their interest, right? So now there's good interest and bad interest. Good interest, buying a home, using a line of credit to buy more inventory to list, if you're going to list, that is, or other types of assets that are going to grow your overall asset, right? So like a home addition might be good. And take a loan for that, because it's actually increasing the value of your home. So you get the idea. If you pay interest to increase the value of something or create more wealth in some way, then that's okay. And I don't need to be a financial advisor to really give that advice. Of course, there is a level where, you know, diminishing returns, right? So, you know, you don't want to borrow too much because you can't take advantage of it that fast. So I'm strictly a just in time type of inventory purchaser. And I think you need to be also, because first of all, overall business is going to benefit from it. Your family life's going to benefit from it because you don't have stuff all over the place. Your finances will benefit from it because you're not using new credit to buy more items that you're not listing enough. You're using basically the profits to reinvest. So you always want to reinvest all your profits if you can, at least initially, before you start taking out. And I don't need to be a financial advisor to do that. All right. So then there's the bad debt. The bad debt is things like, you know, I'm going to go on vacation, so I'm going to put it all on my credit card. I'm going to buy a car. Now, I know car could be both ways. If you use your car in your business and that car is going to generate more wealth, that's a different story. But don't go out and buy a Tesla when you only need a Pinto, at least initially, right? You know, once you have enough money, it's fine. And there are certain ways to buy a car, and I'm not qualified. Well, I probably know enough, but I'm not qualified as far as degrees and certifications to give you any more advice beyond that. But the key is that a car is probably 90% of the time a not an asset, but a liability. Credit card debt usually is a liability. I would say 99% of the time it's a liability. So, I mean, you get the idea, right? If it's going to increase your wealth, good debt. If it's not going to increase your wealth, bad debt. You want to optimize. Notice I don't say maximize. You want to optimize your good debt, and you want to minimize your bad debt. The reason why I say optimize rather than maximize is because, you know, a good debt could turn into bad debt really, really quickly. A death pile is a perfect example. I would say that guy who has 150,000 things in his warehouse that he hasn't listed. That's just, to me, bad debt. It's just accumulation of crap. Now, mind you, that crap's worth something. And so if he learns how to, you know, maybe go out and borrow to hire a bunch of employees, or maybe you use the profits to get a bunch of employees to get those 150,000 listed, different story. Now, of course, he's in a different world these days. I think he's now going to wholesale, but I would venture to say that he didn't plan necessarily to go to wholesale initially, or maybe he did. I don't know. Don't know with the guy at all. So going back to this listener is that, you know, I said, you know, you want to list at least 125 before you dip into your pocket and buy more stuff out of the 150. So if he has 25, given his current rate of listing, it looks like it's about 25 a month. So that's just a guess on my part. Of course, if he could do that in a day, different story. But anyway, if he's listing, you know, he wants to get all the way up to 125, then make another purchase. And while he's listing those 125, the new stuff will come, and then he processes it, and then he lists it. And when he's 3/4 of the way through, he buys more and finishes the processing of the last month's, and then goes to the next month. You get the idea. That's how you grow, right? Now you got to increase your throughput. So in other words, maybe he's not listing enough stuff. And that's really the key to this business. This is not rocket science. Everything sells at a certain sell through, not everything, but most things sell at a certain sell through rate. And knowing that sell through rate is important, as we've talked about in the past, but everything sells on eBay eventually. So purchase well, focus on listing as much as you can, given your current life situation. Maintain either no debt or only good debt, paying it off as fast as possible, and reinvest any profits in the business. Now he's working, he should continue to work, and I don't think that's any news to anybody. But slowly but surely, he'll start replacing his income with new income from his new business. So now I would say in his case, he's got two jobs. It sounds like he works a weekend job too. So the key is to really say, okay, what pays the most, my weekend job or my week job? I'd say probably, I didn't ask, but probably his week job pays the most. So his goal is to make sure his eBay business then.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Replaces his weekend income. When it does, that's when he can quit his weekend job. Now, he may want to stay with his week job, and I don't get that impression from the emails. I didn't ask, I'm still talking to him. So the first goal is to get rid of his weekend job and then look at how could he enhance his business to bring in more income for his family, or how can he turbocharge it by basically reinvesting all the profits, servicing all the debt, not servicing, paying off all the debt each month, and then determining what it's going to take for him to replace his weekday job. Now, I know his weekend job was a warehouse job, but his weekday job, he didn't really go into. So if he's making, let's say $50,000 a year, I'm just making that number up. What is it going to take to make $50,000 a year? And I think it's going to take at least 1,000 items in your inventory to replace a $50,000 income. Now, that's minimum, by the way. And He's in a field. I'm not going to tell you what he sells because one, I didn't ask him. And number two is that, it's in collectibles. So that will tell you. So what is his average selling price? He should be doing all the things we've talked about in this episodes. Knowing what your average selling price is, knowing what your gross margin and your net margins are, how to contain your expenses to exactly what you need. Understanding, in collectibles, you can charge for shipping 90% of the time. You can charge for shipping. And so you could build that in, but what does it cost usually to ship something? Do you do calculated shipping versus a flat rate shipping? I do flat rate because I sell paper. And so paper is really easy to ship. And so I know basically everything's going to cost. And they have the eBay standard envelope now, which makes it a lot easier for me. He's in other things that doesn't use that. So he needs to understand his shipping costs. Don't lose money on your shipping. That's the key. He's not in the market that you need to give free shipping, I don't think. I mean, I don't know exactly the type of things he sells. I kind of know the general area he sells in. So, but check that out and see whether or not people are generally charging for shipping or not. And you can do that through Terapeak very easily. You just, you go in and you search your product, and it'll tell you how many of the sellers out of all of them as a percentage offer free shipping. A little comment on that first is that I know mine about 27% offer free shipping. And I tried offering free shipping for about a month, and it was a disaster. I found that it brought in a lot of bargain hunters who started making offers way lower. And then to the point where actually they were offering me the level where I would lose money on stuff that I purchased for 20 cents. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So anyway, so I put shipping back on and now it's back to normal. Thank God. But I tried to do it because last month specifically, it was, very difficult, a difficult sales month for the summer slowdown we've always talked about. And I just needed to boost sales. And so I had discounts and I did everything. Everything at the kitchen and including the kitchen sink, I threw at it. And, I did get more sales, but it was, it was very less profit. So I mean, still profitable, but less profit. So I decided to turn it back on and now it's back to normal. Thank God. And September is turning out to be a decent month so far. So anyway, so if you do that and he pays down all his debt, I think he, again, just focus on getting rid of the part-time job that you have. And then after that, determine there whether or not you want to replace your full-time job or not. Now he's got a fiance and a kid, a 2-year-old. And so obviously he wants to spend more time with his family. So he may want to keep his regular job and then basically do what he's doing now. But at least now he has the weekends where, when he's not with his kid, he could go out and, list like crazy on the weekends. So anyway, so that's what I would do. And, if you're in that situation, then that's how I would handle it. Okay. So the last thing I want to cover really, and actually this is just an afterthought here. I see this is that there are two things that I really liked that I got from sellers, that I purchased items on eBay. So, as you know, I purchased a lot of my, inventory on eBay because there's a lot of people who don't like to list things individually. They find, because it's just very tedious, I guess. And so they bulk things up and sell them as bulk. And then I just look to see whether or not there's money in it. And there's some YouTubers out there that are saying that, that's kind of not as profitable. And they didn't say not profitable, but they said it was not as profitable. And I don't know if I agree with that or not. Frankly, I find it profitable enough. I guess if I buy something for 20 cents and I'm selling it for $15, I'm pretty happy with that rate of return. Anyway, so two things. One is I got a coupon, and actually a pretty substantial coupon from one of my sellers for 50% off. Now, I don't know if I'd go that high, but obviously they get it really cheap too, or maybe they're happy with really low margins. But I got, and so anyway, I'm not sure if this is a man or woman that's selling to me. So I'm just going to say he or she. Anyway, they sent me a 50% off coupon. This is a new thing on eBay, a relatively new thing on eBay, where you can actually issue coupon codes and you could publish them, which I do, because it gives you a little red banner saying, this is discounted by X amount. And then you can offer another coupon and it says take an extra 50% off. And they printed it out and it's a tiny little ticket. It looks like a ticket from a movie theater, right? Really tiny, really small. And it basically says, it doesn't apply to auctions, the whole thing. It says extra 50% off. It doesn't apply to auctions. And it's either through a best offer or a seller offer feature. And it gives you a coupon code and when it's valid till and so on. It's really good, but they put this as a stuffer in their envelope. And of course it's tiny, it's light. It's not going to add any substantial weight to your item. And so I'm going to start doing that. I haven't done that yet. I've kind of said that I was going to do that before, but anyway, I'm definitely going to do it. I just probably wait till I get into Florida. And then another one was just kind of cool is they basically sent me a little, it's the same thing. It's a little tiny thing. It's a little bit bigger it's a little like maybe say a quarter sheet of paper, call it. And it says here they're, thank you for your purchase. They have an extensive collection of over 500,000 postcards. Good. And, they're available for immediate purchase on my website. Perfect. Okay. Exactly right. Now I've gone to the website. It's okay. It's a good website. Really, really was really, really good about it though, is they take it out of eBay. I go back and forth in this, but I want to keep mine in eBay largely because I don't want to worry about taxes and things like that. So, you could use plugins rather than going directly to Shopify or Wix. You can use a plugin. So it'll basically import your eBay store and keep it synced up but all the sales go through eBay, which is you still pay the fees, but at the same time, you don't have to worry about collecting taxes. I don't know. Maybe if I sold hundreds of thousands of things, maybe I'd change my mind, but right now, I use a plugin. Anyway, so it says you can save in your favorite searches, and they'll email you whenever new cards that match your needs are listed. That's kind of cool. I like that. You couldn't do that with a plugin. So that's good. Anyway, so they appreciate my business and so on. And then it says on the back, it says, we're always buying new things. And so, and it gives me a list of things that they want. And that's kind of cool actually, because I think I'm going to do that too, because that will then bring in people who are collectors and say, okay, listen, I got a bunch of stuff I don't need, but it looks like Mike needs it. So that's, you know, that goes right into what I've said in the past. You want inventory coming to you. You don't want to have to go to inventory. Time and movement is a time waster, and time wasters cost money. Now, if you like to go out and hunt, that's fine. You could do that. Do that on your own time. Don't do that on your business's time. I mean, unless you're really, really good at it and you're able to find value at any place you go. Now, there are certain people like that, but you know, as we've always said, farming versus hunting, hunters eat well sometimes. Farmers eat okay all the time. And their life is a little bit more predictable. So that's what I need. You know, if I was in my 20s, maybe I'd change my mind. But so all those podcasters and eBayers that talk about going to, you know, thrift stores and stuff like that and pulling out inventory off a rack, that's great. That's great YouTube and podcast material. But to me, it's an unpredictable life. And so I just don't like it. I used to like it though. And I still enjoy going to thrift stores. It's just that I now don't look at racks and see money, even though there is money there. I look at racks and see work. So it's a different dynamic. Now, I will say going to those thrift stores though actually has really put something in me to never really pay retail for things again. At least nothing really, really basic like clothing. But sustaining a living doing it, I think is kind of, I just think it's difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible because obviously they're doing it, but you know, there are some pretty big YouTubers out there right now that are obviously going into different areas of, and focusing on other types of business, because I think you do reach a plateau, when you can only list, you know, 20, 30 items a day, you know, on a bad day, I do 100. Normally is between 150 and 200. So you get the idea. Okay. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much. And, you know, listen, I'm going to do it every other week, but if I find something that I really, really want to talk about, I'll throw out an extra episode, a bonus episode or something like that. So anyway, thank you for listening. You know, again, go to the website, for any updates, look at the sponsors and please use them, you know, and like I said, if all of a sudden List Perfectly or Hammock or any of the others that I talk about, start paying me more affiliate commissions, then maybe I'll do more episodes anyway. So anyway, thank you very much. No, I'm just kidding. You know, use them if you can. I don't really care if you use my affiliate code or anything like that. It's, you know, just want you to do what's good for your business. So go ahead and, but you know, definitely support them if it fits your business. Anyway, thanks a lot. And we will talk real soon. Bye.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.